Okay. Today is the last message in our series about heaven. We have talked a lot about heaven these past 7 weeks or so, and we have learned so much. I hope you have learned a lot. There are real answers about heaven, and as we have seen, they are all found in God's Word. Our message series, as I said, is about real answers about heaven. And today we will learn about how we may live our life for heaven now. So someone may ask, why spend so much time talking about heaven? You know? And they say, I have a long way to go in life. We live here on earth right now. Shouldn't we be focused on this life rather than the next? Oh, it's a good question. And it's the final question we will consider in this series on real answers about heaven. Yes, heaven is in the future. Although maybe not as far off as you think. But even though heaven is in the future, it makes a huge difference in how we should live right now. So that's the question about heaven we want to answer this afternoon. So what difference does it make now? The Apostle Paul says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We read that verse just now from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Heaven is in the future, and yet it still makes a huge difference in how we should live. If this life is all there is, and if nothing else beyond the grave, then we will live one way. But if there's another life coming, a bigger, bolder, more beautiful life that you can even imagine, then you will live quite a different way. Knowing about heaven gives you a whole new perspective on life here on earth. In fact, without the perspective of heaven, we will not live our lives properly here on earth. In order to live rightly, we must keep all of life in mind. And that includes eternal life in heaven. As someone said, we may not be leaving for heaven until later, but we should be living for heaven now. The Bible tells us a number of ways your life here on earth should be different because of heaven. We're going to look at seven of them this afternoon. I promise you that it won't be a two-hour sermon, okay? So let us look at what the Bible says about living for heaven now. As I said, there are seven. Number one, new affection. Number two, new direction and focus. Number three, new priorities. Number four, new commitment to holiness. Number five, new commitment to service and witness. Number six, new perseverance through trials. Number seven, new hope. So let us get on with it. First of all, living for heaven now means you are filled with new affections. What do I mean by that? Let us read 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 16. The Apostle John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. By the way, the Greek word world, cosmos, has at least three different meanings depending on the context. One speaks of physical world, all right, the creation of God, and the other speaks of the people in the world. And the third way refers to the world as a system, namely the sinful things that dominates and runs the world. Now, according to the context, obviously John is referring to the third category, the world as a system. As it wouldn't make sense if you were to say not to love the people and the creation of God. Now, if John was referring to the world as a system, or the sinful things that are in the world, what does he mean? What are they? Now, it is not hard to find the answer, because John answers that question in the following verse, in verse 16. It says, the things that are in the world are the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. One of the best ways to overcome the love for the sinful things of the world is to develop a greater love or desire for something which is good. Of course, our greatest desire of all should simply be to know and to love God and to honor Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. But since God is still the main attraction in heaven, the more we learn about heaven and long for heaven, the less we will love the things of this world. John reminds us in this passage that the sinful things of this world are what? Temporary. The world and its desires pass away, but the person who does the will of God lives forever. Notice it is the sinful things of this world that we are to leave behind. They are definitely not good things. Okay? As we have learned through this series, the good things in this world will be renewed and restored. Things like the creation of God and the living creatures, the animals, those are good things. There will be a new heaven and new earth that will last forever. And that's where the one who does the will of God will live forever and ever. And so, first of all, living for heaven means you are filled with new affections, with a new love and desire for the things of God. That's point number one. Secondly, living for heaven now means having a new direction and focus in your life. Look at Colossians chapter 3, where Paul writes, seek those things which are above, where Christ seateth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on those, on things above, not on things on the earth. Notice Paul uses two phrases here to talk about the person who is living for heaven now. Phrase number one, seek those things which are above. Phrase number two, set your affection on things above. The first commandment is this, seek those things which are above. What does it mean? We find a similar phrase in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. From Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And so when Paul tells you to seek those things which are above where? Heaven, the kingdom of God. He is saying that as a Christian, you have, and you should, have a new direction or goal. You are no longer to seek the things down here on earth, but you are to set your heart on things above, or the kingdom of God. And then the second commandment is similar. Paul says, set your affection on things above. Now the word translated set your affection on things above means to think about something in above. And it's paraphrased in such a way that it means to think about it constantly. Sounds familiar? Like couples who are in love and constantly think about each other every single day. Okay? For those of you too young, may not understand what I'm talking about. For those who are married or in love right now, you know what I'm talking about. Right? And so if seek those things which are above means having a new direction or goal, set your affection on things above means having a new focus, then we have got to make some adjustments in our lives with regard to what we think and what we say and how we live and where we go. As one person put it, you must not only seek heaven, you must also think heaven. You have got heaven on the brain, or at least intellectually. You may be living here on earth, but your mind should be constantly in heaven. And don't forget the premise in the passage we've just read in Colossians chapter 3, right? It says, if you have been raised with Christ, or if he then be risen with Christ, therefore you should what? Seek those things which are above, or have new focus, and set your affection on things above, or be constantly thinking about God and the things of God, rather than the things of earth. Does not mean abandoning this world and live a passive life, or a irresponsible life as a person. No, not at all. In fact, it is exact opposite. Rather than abandoning this world and live passive life, we should live this world, our life, in preparation for the next. Actively and responsibly, and be a good testimony. So first of all, living for heaven now means you are filled with new affections. Second, it means having a new direction and focus. Number three, living for heaven now means you will have new priorities in your life. Now, if this life, again, is all there is, you will have a certain set of priorities, right? But once again, if there is another life to come, then you will have a whole new set of priorities. Now, what do I mean by that? Let Jesus explain it to you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, this is important, for where your treasure is, then will your heart be also. When you live heaven out, when you remove heaven from your thinking, when your focus is on this life alone, all your priorities center on this world and in this life. All of our thoughts, all of our plannings, all of our finances, all of our investments, and all of our pursuits, they all go into this short, brief life here on earth. People often justify this way of thinking and they say, well, you only live once. The basic thinking is that you only live once, so you must well enjoy all the fun while you can here on earth. Because after that, there's no more. Right? There's no more life after this life. Now, the problem with that way of thinking, though, right, is it is not true. You don't only live once. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this," right, there's something more after you die. After this, the judgment. This is your first life, my friends. Everyone gets the first life, either a Christian or non-Christian. The Bible says when you die, all of us, either a Christian or a non-Christian, will have to face judgment before the Almighty God. For Christian, that is for Christian, okay? You actually live twice. Once here on earth and once in heaven. And you only live a short time here on earth compared to eternity in heaven. Dear friends, are you ready for the coming of Christ? If you have not yet received Jesus Christ, unfortunately, you won't. You will not be ready. You won't be ready for heaven because there is a judgment waiting for you, and unfortunately, I have to break this news for you or to you won't be going to heaven. You won't be ready for heaven not because you have not been a good person or you have not done enough good works or you have not given enough money to church or to the poor. You are not ready for heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ has not yet cleansed your sins away. And also, you do not have the righteousness of Christ to enter eternal life, to enter into heaven. Dear friends, I said, everybody will face the judgment before God. On the day of judgment, all of us will be raised. If you are a Christian, you probably get raised before that. All right? Those of you have put their faith in Christ Jesus will live forever in heaven with God. And for those of you who died without Christ, will face the second death. So you live once, die once, and you died again. In other words, if you are a believer in Christ, you die once. Right? When you die, you will face judgment before Christ, but because of your faith in Christ, your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are regarded as righteous before God the Father. Now, based upon the merits of Christ, not your merits, you have done nothing to deserve salvation. You will be ushered into eternity to live forever with God. So live once in this temporal life and once more in the eternal realm. And you only die once. But my friends, if you are an unbeliever, you only get to live once and you will die twice. This is because when you face your judgment before God, you will have to pay for your sins. And since you reject Christ as your Savior, your sin is not washed away by the blood of Christ. And you also do not have the righteousness of Christ. And the Bible says you will die once more and be tormented in the lake of fire forever. Dear friends, if you desire to go to heaven instead of hell or the lake of fire, it's not too late to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please do not delay. Don't wait until tomorrow, because tomorrow may never arrive. Once you leave this world, it will be too late, and no amount of regret will save you. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, where should your priorities be? Think of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, the passage here on the PowerPoint. You either store up treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, or store up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And remember what Jesus said as his conclusion. He said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So living for heaven now means you will have new priorities in life. So first of all, living for heaven now means you are filled with new affections. Number two, having a new direction and focus. Number three, having a new priorities. Fourthly, living for heaven now means you will experience a new commitment to holiness. We read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. I want to draw your attention to the phrase, the day of the Lord, in verse 10. This refers to the day of judgment. This refers to the day Christ returns. And we have learned from our series that a number of things will happen when Christ returns. So let us have a little review. First of all, we will receive our resurrection body. The bodies of those who have already died in Christ will be resurrected first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the first thing. Secondly, there will be a great family reunion. We will be reunited with our loved ones who die in Christ, and actually with all the New Testament saints and the New Testament believers throughout all of history. That's number two. And then number three, we will stand before God for judgment and to receive our eternal rewards, depending on what you have done for the Lord, whether you are faithful or not. We saw that these eternal rewards correspond to our service to God in this world. In other words, how we live now matters. Now, in this passage, Paul reminds us that when Christ returns, this world will be judged with fire. Now, it may not be exactly like this, but it will definitely be judged with fire, according to what the Bible says. Exactly how the judgment will unfold, I do not know. Whether it be like this or something else, I do not know. Many scholars have speculated about this and have even written books about it. Some have speculated that nuclear weapons will be deployed due to the phrase, the element shall melt with fervent heat. Right? They said, what kind of heat can melt the elements? Or some say the word element means atom. the basic building block of all things. So the atoms will be dissolved with fervent heat. That's what atomic bombs works. And everything on Earth will be burned up. Well, and others say, well, simply that God will use his almighty power to judge the world with supernatural fire that would, you know, that the world will be burned up. I do not know. Okay? Again, however the judgment will be carried out, what is important is that this will definitely happen, my friends. This is not mere poetic expressions or figurative of speech. This is literal. This will happen, okay? And dearly beloved, do not become spiritually complacent. God has also called us to live a holy lives and godly lives on this earth as we look forward to the day of God. I know you're going to face many temptations and trials in this life. Let's face it. We are all on the same boat. I struggle as much as you do. We are going to face plenty of temptations even this week and this month and throughout our lives. And sometimes it will seem overwhelming to us. But when you keep heaven on your mind, you will experience a new commitment to holiness that will help you resist temptations and become a victor in Christ. So first of all, living for heaven now means you are filled with new affection. Second, having a new direction and focus. Third, having new priorities. Fourth, new commitments to holiness. Number five, living for heaven now means you will also experience a new commitment to service and witness. Paul writes about heaven and our resurrection bodies in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then after spending a whole chapter talking about these things, he closes with verse 58. Again, I read again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you know that heaven is coming, you will be motivated with the new commitment to service and witness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul tells us that because the Lord is coming back, you will want to give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, not half-hearted service, not just service some of the time, but giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. You will want to serve God with the whole heart wherever he has placed you. Now you can serve the Lord as a student. I don't mean that everybody must become a missionary. Alright? You can serve the Lord as a student, as a worker, as a nurse, as a dentist, as a teacher, as an engineer, whatever you do, you can serve the Lord. I don't mean all of us should quit their jobs. You can serve the Lord in whatever position that the Lord has placed you with. Alright? So whether a church, home, work, school, any place. Why? Because you know that what you do counts for all eternity. You know that your labor in the Lord, as Paul says, is not in vain or useless. What is the work of the Lord? This includes, but not excludes, other things you do for the Lord, serving Christ and others, and sharing the gospel with others. You say, what can I do? I'm just an ordinary Christian. I'm just a student. I'm just a household, the house maker. I almost say household worker. Okay, housemaker. I'm just an ordinary Christian. There's no such thing as an ordinary Christian, by the way. Everyone, look at this verse. Everyone is called to serve the Lord as a priest of God. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:9, Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, and are called to be a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Everyone is called to serve as a priest. So we all are priests, serving him in different capacities and functions. So do not assume that preaching and teaching the word of God is the most glorious things that you can do. True, it is a privilege and honor to be able to do that. But besides preaching and teaching the word of God, there are plenty of things you can do for the Lord, and they are no less glorious and honorable than preaching and teaching the word. You can serve the Lord through a visitation, or a phone call, or a text message, or encourage your pastor by a phone call, by giving little help, or by praying for others, or cooking for someone, or simply giving someone a listening ears. When you go for a visitation, people might want to say something. You'll be there, be his or her listening ears. Or you can also share the gospel with others so that they too can share in the joys of eternal life in heaven. So living for heaven now means a new commitment to service and witness. So what does living for heaven now means? It means, first of all, living for heaven. It means to be filled with new affection. Second, having a new direction and focus. Third, having a new priorities. Fourth, new commitment to holiness. Fifth, having a new commitment to service and witness. Number six, living for heaven now means having a new perspective, a new perspective of trials and temptations, or rather have a new perseverance through trials. We reread these words from Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And we all know that God created the world good, perfectly good. And sin introduced pain and suffering. As a result, there is a lot of sufferings in this world, including natural disasters, which is the subject of our discussion next week. Okay, but the Bible makes it clear that the suffering we experience in this world does not and cannot compare to the glory we will experience in the heaven and earth. Paul certainly experienced his share of sufferings. We just need to read what he had been through. He was flogged, stoned, beaten up with rods, unjustly imprisoned, shipwrecked, and left for dead. And he also said he often went without food or sleep. Some of us are complaining about, you know, I don't want to eat this. But Paul went for many times, many days without food or sleep. And yet he still persevered and says, "I reckon that the sufferings that I went through in this present life are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Why? Why? Because he knew heaven was coming. He knew that heaven is real. That's why he was able to write those precious words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, our body is is just wasting away and getting weaker and weaker, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fixed our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wow. Paul takes his most severe sufferings and in view of heaven calls them light and momentary troubles. John Calvin writes about this verse. He says, Heaven makes light what before seemed to be heavy and brief and momentary, what seems to last forever. You said, yeah, right, what does Paul know what I'm going through? Yeah, he could be right. But Jesus certainly knows what you're going through. I do not know. Paul might not know, although he had gone through so many things, but Jesus surely knows what you're going through when it comes to trials and temptations. And what was Paul? So this is Paul's secret that he was able to persevere through trials. He knows that heaven is real and it's coming for him. So if you believe that heaven is real and it's coming for you, that means you can also persevere through your trials. So living for heaven now means new perspective on trials. You get new perseverance through trials as well. So first of all, living for heaven now means you are filled with new affections. Second, having new direction and focus. Third, having new priorities. Fourth, new commitment to holiness. Fifth, having a new commitment to service and witness. Sixth, having a new perspective through trials. And then finally, living for heaven now means having a new hope. Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians while in prison, chained to a guard, awaiting a possible death sentence. Now, that doesn't sound like a very hopeful situation. And yet Paul was full of hope. Why? Again, because he was living for heaven. And he reminds the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "For our conversation, our earthly conduct is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Later, Paul would also write to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." What is the Christian's blessed hope? It is Christ. It is his returning. And when he comes, he is bringing heaven with him. And so no matter what happens in this life, whether sickness or death, persecution or harassment, wrongfully accused or betrayed, we have hope. Since heaven will be perfect, none of these things will ever happen again. So in conclusion, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, heaven is coming and it's going to be glorious. And knowing about heaven should affect your life now, and it should change every aspect of your life here on earth. Living for heaven now means having new affections, a new direction and focus, new priorities, a new commitment to holiness, a new commitment to service and witness, new perspectives, new perseverance through trials, and new hope to guide you through this life. Now, we may not be living for heaven until a little bit later. I don't know how long. But we should be living for heaven now. Heaven is coming. Probably sooner than you think. So live your life in view of eternity. Let's learn to live for heaven now. Dear friends, are you ready for the coming of Christ? I'm speaking to our non-Christian friends. If you have not yet received Jesus Christ, I can tell you right now, you won't be ready. You won't be ready for heaven because there's eternal judgment waiting for you. You won't be ready for heaven because you have not yet received Jesus Christ, and his blood has not washed away your sins. And you will not have his righteousness to enter into heaven. So I urge you to come to Christ today, right now. Do not delay. Acknowledge that you are a sinner and repent before God. Not before a priest, before God. By confessing that Christ is the Lord, and that he has died for your sin, and believe that he rose again on the third day, and you shall be saved. Let us pray.